Mirren, Forrest Whitaker up for acting nods. Clint Eastwood, Mel Gibson, best foreign language film. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will be a presenter. I'm Rod Fritz, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gipshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, welcome into Calling for Truth. We're glad that you've tuned in. We hope you will join the conversation, and hopefully we've got another big week, Kevin. Another big week of talking about things related to the Lord Jesus, things related to the culture in which God has placed us, the culture that we're trying to reach with the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, we live for one thing. Our singular passion is this, the glory of God. And if the glory of God is our singular passion, well, then that's going to filtrate down to every area of our lives. It's going to filtrate down to every aspect of our lives. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not perfect, and I mess up and fail and stumble and fall and sin and all the rest. But my heart is grieved when I do, and the bent of my heart, the new man that I am in Christ by virtue of His grace, does not delight in sin. I delight in God Himself. I delight in His holiness. I delight in His will and His ways. And I want to reflect His glory as best I can. I want to do it more and more. Again, so that He will be not only glorified in my life, but glorified before others, to others. There's a sense in which only He can do that with regard to the hearts of others. He does that by the Holy Spirit. He does that through our witness, both in the way we live and in the words we speak. He does that through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so all of that to say, our singular passion is the glory of God, and that's going to filtrate down into our lives as we live our lives seeking to speak to those who need to know Jesus Christ, speaking to those who need to be saved, and encouraging believers in a variety of ways that they might speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved, and that, again, ultimately, God might be glorified.
Amen. You know, Paul, this has been our theme, actually, for our church for this year, has been just what you described there, the glory of God. The glory of God is our number one priority. It's what we're making a priority in our church this year as well. But I think yesterday, not only did we enjoy talking about those things, but there were some records set yesterday in the football arena. I think you just set a record there for the longest introduction we've ever had on the broadcast.
Well,
and the reason
for that
being, I think our people will understand when they see what the topic is today. It's not an easy topic to talk about.
That's exactly
and
right.
And it's something that we need to look at carefully, and that's what, hence your introduction there, not to get people, this is a touchy issue. Here's the topic today. Profane preaching. This trend that we find in much of the evangelical community today, not much, certain segments of the evangelical community today, about the Christian, and even more specifically the minister, and cursing. You know, that there seems to be this propensity now. There's been a couple of things that have come up, and we can go through what has spurred this discussion. We actually loaded this up on our blog on the websites before Christmas.
That's right.
And then we decided to take it down because we really wanted to focus on the incarnation and all of the glorious doctrines that surround the coming, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we didn't want to distract from that with this particular subject. So we waited. We had over 500 people go out and read the blog saying that we were going to do this. So I had to put a note out there saying, sorry we took this down, but we will visit it after the first of the year. We're doing that today. And since that time, even more information or more incidents have taken place since that time. And so now the subject is even more worthy of talking about here on the broadcast than it was before Christmas.
Well, I think it is. And, Kevin, you're right to point out my reticence to jump right into the topic. And the reason for that, of course, is, you know, there's some people who delight to point the finger at others. There's some people who delight, you know, to point out error or, you know, bash folk. And that is not what you and I are all about. That's not what Christians should be about. And so we delight in none of that. And so, you know, whenever we point out certain things that are detrimental to the cause of Christ, we do it with fear and trepidation. We do it with humility, I hope, in our hearts. We ask God to give us humility at least. And we do not delight in it. And it seems that so often when we're talking about cultural engagement and, you know, impacting this culture, obviously we want to impact this culture with the gospel. We talk about what's going on in the political sphere. We talk about what's going on in the entertainment sphere. We talk about all of these things. But we're trying to spur the church to love and good works, and we want the body of Christ to be built up in terms of its own holiness and purity, in terms of its own, well, its own impetus to engage this culture for Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we're dealing with theology and Christian living, and we're really positive, but other times we're pointing out problems in the church. And again, we don't delight in that, but we point that out so that we can say, hey, wait a minute. This is not the way to go about advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look, Kevin, there are a lot of folk out there who are pointing out problems within the church, and sometimes we might even agree on what the problems are, and then, of course, we might disagree as to what the solution is, but at least we understand that there are problems out there. And so what we want to do is come back to the Scriptures when we talk about problems and when we talk about solutions. And so here I am rambling again, but I think it's important to clarify and just to say, look, with gentleness and patience and love and humility and grace, we want to address these issues because, Kevin, I know that I'm not perfect. I know that you would say the same about yourself. And so we're treading in tricky territory here, but we want to do it again for the glory of God and the sake of the gospel.
Okay, we've given them a 15-minute disclaimer here in the beginning. Let's jump right into the topic. Here's the topic. You know, we're talking about profane preaching. Is this right in the church today? John MacArthur has written an article called Grunge Christianity, and in that article about grunge Christianity, he mentioned specifically maybe one of the best-known representatives of this type of thing that we see taking place in the church today. Let me read MacArthur's words here. He says, Mark Driscoll is one of the best-known representatives of this kind of thinking. He's talking about this idea of engaging the culture with what the culture is involved in. He says he is a very effective communicator. Paul, have you ever heard any of his sermons? Have you listened to that? I've listened to a few online.
I have not, to be honest with you. I've read a lot.
He is a very effective communicator, and there's no doubt about it. He's bright. He's witty. Here's what MacArthur again. Clever, funny, insightful, but crude, profane, deliberately shocking, in-your-face kind of guy. His soteriology is exactly right, but that only makes his infatuation with the vulgar aspects of contemporary society more disturbing. He says that Driscoll ministers in Seattle, the birthplace of grunge. I was just out there recently. I can attest to that. And he says that the ever-changing subculture associated with that movement. Driscoll's unique style and idiom might aptly be labeled post-grunge. His language, even in his sermons, is deliberately crude. He is well known for using profane language that one of his friends, Donald Miller, a popular author and icon of the emerging movement, who speaks of Driscoll with admiration, nicknamed him Mark the Cursing Pastor. That's what one of his admirers does. So here's this trend that's taking place. Mark Driscoll is very well known in the evangelical church. He runs he's a pastor of a large church in Seattle. I think about 5,000 people, somewhere in there. And so he's getting a lot of airtime in the Christian community, the evangelical Christian community. But the problem is, as MacArthur is pointing out here, is that he doesn't see any problem with using profane language, even from the pulpit, you know, during his sermons. In fact, not only just in the heat of the moment, as we'll talk about some preachers doing this more recently, but not just in the heat of the moment, but specifically designed this way, to speak this way in the pulpit, because of his mentality that this will somehow reach certain segments of our culture today. And so there's where the real core issue is that we want to get to. First of all, using this profane language from the pulpit. And secondly, the mentality behind it about why do we have to give in to this mentality in order to preach the gospel? Why should we?
Well, that's a great question, and it really does go to the heart of the argument in a very real sense. There are certain ancillary arguments to be dealt with at the same time. But we'll talk about all of that when we come back from the break, and we want you to join the conversation at 1-888-660-WLFJ. You're listening to Calling for Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Piedmont Baptist Association, the Stephen Alford School of Preaching, and Christian Talk 660 will be hosting Essentials of Expository Preaching. This seven-week course begins on Monday evening, January 29th at 6, and meets weekly at the Piedmont Baptist Association's office located at 123 Fleetwood Drive in Easley, right across the street from the Palmetto Baptist Medical Center. If you desire to effectively study and teach the Word of God, you're encouraged to attend Essentials of Expository Preaching. There is a $30 registration fee, and a diploma will be awarded to all those who complete the course. For more information, call 864-859-9906 or go to christiantalk660.com.
If you have the desire to help a child that is struggling in school, STRIDES, a Christian nonprofit tutoring program, needs volunteers now to commit to two late afternoons a week to help needy children in our neighborhoods. Call Dr. Everett at 246-9898 or go to our website, stridestutor.org. Our children are failing, and you can be the answer. Please call 246-9898.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
All right, we're back in. You're listening to Calling for Truth. Here's the number, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Talking about profane preaching. Profane ministry, in a sense, and do we have to become profane in order to reach this culture for Jesus Christ? And truth of fact, some folk are saying, you know, you have to become like the culture in order to reach the culture, and some are saying you have to talk like them and act like them and sort of get down on their level. Well, I can't imagine the Lord Jesus giving us that kind of advice or the Apostle Paul giving us that kind of advice. We'll talk about that, but that's where we are today. Let me give you an idea of what we're talking about here. Kevin, you mentioned Mark Driscoll a moment ago, and this isn't going to be Bash Mark Driscoll Day. You know, we appreciate the good things that he's doing, and we're going to move on and talk about some other issues. But he's part of that larger movement called the Emerging Church, and I know that there are a couple of brands of the emerging or emergent movement, and we could get into that on another broadcast, and we certainly will.
Mm-hmm.
But here's part of what we're talking about. He gives an account in his book, Confessions of a Reformation Reverend. Now, this is a Reformation Reverend, I'm sorry. Very popular book, and with regard to this movement. And he talks about the fact that his phone rang one night, and this college student from his church had a problem. And here's Driscoll's account of it. In fact, let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
The account is a little lengthy. It's going to take a minute or a minute and a half to get through.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a caller on the line. Let me do that first, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like you say, that account is a little lengthy, so we'll just get to the caller right away. That's a good idea.
We'll come back to it if we have time. Who we got on the line? We've got David. David, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Fine. How are you?
Good. You know, this is really a good topic when I heard it today. I used to be part of a church here in the upstate area, and they would have evangelists come by every so often. I don't know if I'm not going to say names, but you know, he would, and I don't know if you've ever heard this before a lot, but he would use "bless God" a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not talking about like "bless God," you know, "bless His name," but "bless God, I'm sick and tired of this. Bless God, I'm sick and tired." And, you know, we call it Christian cussing.
Right, right.
And that same mentality, and I know you're talking about, you know, the opposite extreme, actually, you know, using that kind of language to reach the culture. But this extreme was just out of anger. And it just, you know, it just really, this kind of... I hate to say it, but it was Independent Baptist Church, and you know, and they were really, really, really strict. And I mean, it was just, you know, just kind of hateful, almost type preaching. But that "bless God" was, when you said profane preaching, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to call in on this right here.
Mm.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. We're going to be talking about some other things and strong language. We're not necessarily going to mention certain words. I think everybody is going to know what we're talking about. But what you've hit on there, David, is really what the Lord strictly forbids in His Word when He says, "Do not take the name of the Lord in vain." It just doesn't simply refer to profanity or, you know, certain phrases or words that we would associate with taking the name of the Lord in vain, but when you just casually use the name of God, or when you use it, you know, just as part of your ordinary speech, when you treat it casually, and when you use it in the way in which you have cited in the context of anger, and this is just a habit, then all of a sudden you're saying the name of God with no real thought behind it, no real meaning behind it. In fact, you could be using it as an epithet or as a curse word in some sense. And listen, the name of the Lord is holy because it represents who He is. And if you remember, the Hebrew people, they would not even pronounce the covenant name of God, Yahweh. They wouldn't even print it. In fact, they came up with a whole completely different word to refer to the word Yahweh in the Scriptures. And that's why you see, for example, in the Old Testament translations in English sometimes, the word "Lord" in all caps. It's that covenant name of God that refers back to a Hebrew word. It may be Adonai, I'm not sure. That's different from the word Yahweh because they wouldn't even pronounce it, Kevin.
That's right. You know, it says this in Exodus chapter 20. Of course, there's the 10th commandments. But in verse 7, it says this: "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And Paul was just saying there, you know, that the vain without thought, the word actually too has the idea of empty, you know, it's just empty. No consideration as to the glory of God and to His name. Glory, as we were looking at this past week, speaks about esteeming something. It means opinion, about having a high opinion or a high estimate of who God is. This is exactly the opposite, having a very low view of who God is. Just this casual, empty, you know, nothingness to the name of God. There's no care or concern for the holiness or the honor of God. And so we would definitely, it's a little bit different of a subject here, David, but I think that it is still, a valid point that is not an acceptable behavior,
right,
or acceptable verbiage for a preacher to be using, or a Christian in general.
Well, I appreciate it. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Dave, we appreciate the call. Yeah, certainly relevant, certainly part and parcel, a subheading of what we're talking about. Let me get back to this issue of, this attitude that some are saying we have to engage the culture. And this speaks to it, Kevin. This is Mark Driscoll. It talks about his phone ringing. He says it's some godforsaken hour when I'm not even a Christian. And I understand, you know, he's talking about this in the middle of the night, and he may be joking here, but at the same time, as you continue to read, you find out he's really put out at being disturbed. Now, here's the deal, just as a side issue.
Right.
I've been called of the Lord to be a servant of God and a servant of God's people, and I'm there to help them in their time of need. Now, does that mean that I don't react sinfully from time to time? Of course it doesn't mean that. I am a sinner. But at the same time, I know what my calling is, and I know what my attitude ought to be, and I know what my heart should be, and I pray that God would give me the heart of a pastor all of the time. So anyway, he says, I answered in a stupor. On the other end was some college guy who was crying. I asked him what was wrong. He said it was an emergency and he really needed to talk to me. And then he says this, trying to muster up my inner pastor, I sat down and tried to pretend that I was concerned. I asked him what was wrong, and he rambled for a while about nothing, which usually means that a guy is sinned and is wasting time with dumb chit-chat because he's ashamed to just get to the point and confess. So I interrupted him, blurting out, it's 3 a.m., so stop jerking me around. What have you done? Well, he talks about the fact that he had watched some pornography somehow, I don't know if it's television or where the case may be, and that, you know, he engaged in some attending things with regard to pornography. I'm not going to get into it. He writes it out. He talks about it, and this is part of what we're saying, and I can't even bring myself to speak about these things hardly, even euphemistically. And so he says, well, is the porno over? This is the pastor asking him a question. Is the porno over? He said, yes. And then the pastor says, was it good porno? Now, I don't even know what category to put that in, Kevin. Was it good porno? And then he didn't reply. And so then he says, well, you've already watched the whole porno, and then he cuts loose with a vulgarity that I cannot repeat. And so then he asks the question, you've already done that, so what am I supposed to do? And the young man said, well, I don't know. You're my pastor. I thought maybe you could pray for me. And listen, Kevin, you know, it's one thing to, you know, to go and drink coffee with someone when you really need to minister to someone who's hurting. It's one thing to, make the rounds in the hospitals. We need to do those things. But, you know, here's a guy who's fallen into sin. He needs spiritual help, spiritual counsel. He's called the one man that God has placed over him for this, for guidance and for help in the middle of the night. He's crying out. And what does his pastor do? He belittles him. He makes fun of him. He essentially says he's put out with him. He doesn't want to waste his time with him. He goes on to say this. To be honest, I didn't want to pray. This is the pastor talking. So I just said the first thing that came to mind. Jesus, thank you for not killing him for being a pervert. Amen. And then he says this. All right, well, you should sleep good now, so go to bed. Don't call me again tonight because I'm sleeping and you're making me angry. And so this young man said, well, what am I supposed to do now? And then the pastor responds by saying, well, you need to stop watching porno and crying like a baby afterward and grow up, man. I don't have time to be your accountability partner, so you need to be a man and nut up and take care of this yourself. A naked lady is good to look at, so get a job, get a wife, ask her to get naked, look at her instead, all right? And Kevin, yeah, I really feel uncomfortable reading the last phrase there, but the mindset is that we have to sort of get down where they are, speak like they speak, and be like the world in order to reach the world. Not only do I think this is a totally unbiblical approach, but I think he's mixing two worlds here. Here's a young man that's already in his church. He's calling for spiritual counsel, and basically he says to him, not only am I not interested, not only do I not care, not only am I making fun of you, not only, you know, all of these things, but you know what? Take care of this yourself, as if guilty sinners could take care of anything themselves. Don't we need the grace and the power and the Spirit of Almighty God to work in our hearts and lives?
You know, Paul, our first point here is just to try to let people know what the issue is, and you just gave an example there. Now, remember, this man is the pastor of about a 5,000-member church in Seattle. Now, remember this. He's on the speaking circuit in evangelicalism. In fact, and I'm just going to point this out because it's going to relate here to our study, but he is scheduled to be speaking at John Piper's Desiring God conference coming up. And so our question is this. You Let me give you a couple more examples before I pose that question. But there was another one. There's a movement out that says this. It was in the Greenville News here recently. It says stand-up comic Brad Stein emcees a Godmen spiritual event in Nashville. We want to force you out of the safe places that have passed for spirituality, he says. And then he runs on stage and says, we're tired of this wussification of America. It's really getting to us. He thanks God for the testosterone that he's given to us. And then he begins to follow that up with multiple cursings from the stage, saying that we're tired of this whimsical Christianity. We need to add more curse words to it. More recently, and we'll talk about it when we come back from the break, Piper himself has actually used some words that have come up at Passion 07. And the bigger issue, as you just brought up here, behind this is not the language per se, that's an issue, but why the underlying philosophy of assuming that we need to do this to reach our society.
That's the question, back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Southern Stone is proud to be a sponsor of Calling for Truth. Their greatest desire is to magnify Jesus Christ in all they do. Southern Stone has been providing quality craftsmanship and excellent service in many fine upstate communities for over 10 years. To find out more about the benefits of stone and how to achieve your custom look, call Southern Stone at 864-879-3008. That's 879-3008. Southern Stone, a proud sponsor of Calling for Truth.
Are you captive to the sin of pornography, gluttony, gambling, or homosexuality? Setting Captives Free exists to offer Christ-centered hope and freedom to those in the grips of sin through accountability to Bible-based truth, resulting in the free enjoyment of life in and for the glory of God. Be set free by the truth of God's Word through daily Bible study and accountability. Log on to SettingCaptivesFree.com today and begin your journey to freedom in Christ.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, Kevin, you mentioned the Godmen movement, and obviously we'll probably talk about this as the days go by, but here's what some in the Godmen movement are saying now. Most churches, you'll see flowers and ferns at the front. That's saying this is a place that a woman has composed. So we have sought to create a place where men could admit flaws without being judged bad Christians, and a place where they can be unapologetically male, including plenty of rock and roll and sex talk. That's what the Godmen movement is all about, and that's problematic, and it's part and parcel of this whole subject that we're talking about today, profane preaching. Now, the Godmen movement is different than the emerging church movement.
Right.
The emerging church movement is different than, a John Piper doing what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, Kevin, it all goes back to this question that you have posed. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we feel the need to be profane, particularly from the pulpit, in order to, quote-unquote, reach this culture for Jesus Christ.
Right, exactly, Paul. We tried to give a couple cases here. We mentioned Mark Driscoll, and like you said, we just don't want to pick on Driscoll here today. By the way, I think that he is actually now speaking out against the emerging church or some aspect of that. He's come out away from it a little bit, and he's speaking about it. But we talked about
he's come away from the unorthodoxy of Brian McLaren and others,
right.
but there are two sides of
okay,
that.
Okay,
so
I know
anyway,
what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And but I'm just trying to be fair to him. We're not. It's not pick on Mark Driscoll Day. That's not
right.
our point here. Just giving you, giving our listeners an example of what's taking place. Right. So there's Mark Driscoll mentioned another, you know, terrible example, infamous in a bad sense, is the idea of Godmen and what they're doing. And then we put Piper in the mix there too. Piper is in no way. Advocating it to the level that these other two ministries are. Although, as we mentioned, Dr. John Piper, has, you know, invited Mark Driscoll to speak at his Desiring God conference. Tremendously popular, huge conference, but he is acknowledging the gifts that Driscoll has, but not shunning him because of his propensity to use this profane language during his preaching. We just gave a little sample there. I mean, he does it enough times that he's known to be the cursing pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that should suffice. Here's what one of the, I'm going to get to Piper's comment here in just a second, but I wanted to read, somebody wrote in, his name is Ernest Simmons, wrote into the Greenville News when he read that article about Godmen, and I cut it out of the paper. It says this, I'm writing in response to the article, New Ministries Preaching Godliness Can Be Manly, which appeared in the Sunday, December 10th Greenville News. After reading the article, I was completely appalled that any person professing to be a born-again Christian can think it acceptable to use profanity as a means of setting an example of godliness and manliness. Contrary to what Brad Stein says, the Bible teaches that Christians should be separate from the world. Even though it's difficult and even though we're ridiculed at times for going against the popular culture, Christians should strive to set an example for the non-believer. And he goes on there. We don't have time to read it all, but here's a person that read that and said, wait a second, this is completely inconsistent with Christianity.
Well, that's right. In the scripture, we're going to give some scripture verses a little bit later. But again, let no profane word or let no unwholesome talk proceed from your mouth.
That's right.
Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, our words have to be watched with great care according to the scriptures. But
every idle word will be judged.
That's right. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
And he talks about profanities proceeding out of the heart. But let me just mention something about the Godmen movement. You know, part of this comes from, you know, what some are saying about some of the choruses or the songs that we sing in worship, that where men are said to, sing about Jesus, like I love you, Jesus, and some of the songs come across in such a way that it almost sounds like Jesus is. He's your male partner, he's your boyfriend, or, you know, it sounds more romantic than worshipful. And, of course, I have no problem with saying I love the Lord Jesus Christ, but I understand where some of that's coming from. There are some songs that seem to me to cross that line, and I just don't sing them. But that's the answer, Kevin. Isn't it rather that we should simply not sing those songs that are objectionable, those songs that are questionable, rather than start a whole new unbiblical movement that goes to the other extreme and say, well, because we don't want to be sissies, we're going to start cursing and talking about these other things? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
It is. It's a knee-jerk overreaction to what's taking place, and it's unbiblical. You know, they've swung the pendulum all the way back to the other extreme and, you know, bringing great dishonor and reproach to the name of Christ. Justin Taylor, who writes a lot of books with John Piper, has a very popular blog out there, and he included just a week or so ago, January 10th, that's here, so what, 5 days ago, he included a conversation that took place with John Piper, and he was in a question and answer session, and somebody referred or asked John Piper, why did you make that type of remark at Passion 07. And Passion 07 is for young people. And he was there speaking. I think most of the people, the general age is like from 17 to 25 or something, maybe the majority of the office. Of the audience that's there. But here was the question the person asked. They said, at the Passion 07 breakout session, you used language which seemed inappropriate to some. Will you explain why you did that? Here's what John Piper's reply was. I regret saying it. I am sitting here trying to figure out why I say things like that every now and then. I think it's a mixture of sinful audience titillation and holy scorn against my own flesh and against the devil, along with the desire to make the battle with Satan and my flesh feel gutsy and real and not middle-class pious. There is a significant difference between saying that God disciplines his children and saying that he kicks our blank, as that was the phrase that he used at Passion. The effect of the first can produce a yawn and leave students with no sense of how real I mean it. I think he kicks our backside might have been better, he says. That would have sufficed. But even better might have been just some concrete illustration about how the Lord firmly spanks. Now, he goes on to say in the language that he's using here, and this is what I'm concerned about, is he doesn't really seem to be fully persuaded that he shouldn't have used this language. He's giving an excuse here, basically saying, well, I'm trying to get the points across, just as you were saying about using more gutsy, more real terms so that it really gets across to people. But he doesn't seem to fully be in the place of saying, but I crossed the line and I'll never do it again, that this isn't right. He is saying, in fact, in the end of the, and maybe I should go through and just read just a little bit more. He said, if I wanted to take the time and I felt more defensive than I do, I could probably go to the Bible and find language as offensive as that in the mouth of the prophets or even God when dealing with the grossness of evil. Well, my quote, my comeback to that is, you're not a prophet, you're not a son of a prophet, and you're certainly not God. So, you know, I wouldn't go there that they said something a certain way and that gives us license to do it. But I doubt that the moment in the breakout session called for something that extreme. Sometimes, maybe, I hope the Lord turns it for his good. I think if I had to do it over again, I would not say it. On the one hand, I don't like fanning the flames of those who think it's hip and cool to swear for Jesus. That, it seems to me, is immature. On the other hand, I want those hip people to listen to all that I say and write. And I hope that the Lord may get a hold of them and draw them out of their immaturity and into a fullness of holiness. But it backfires if one becomes unholy to make people holy. I suspect that there was too much of the unholy in my heart at that moment. So you see what I mean about he's going back and forth, almost wrestling with himself as to whether this is legitimate or not. Do you hear that in there?
I see that. And Kevin, I want to address that. And again, I know you're going to say, okay, there you go, the disclaimer again. I want folks to know we love John Piper.
Hey, we're going to use his video series. I mean,
that's right.
We talk a lot about John Piper.
That's right. And I appreciate the way God has used him and is using him. And I pray we'll continue to use him. And if you haven't read any of John Piper's books, you need to pick up Desiring God today. Don't let another day go by without reading it, because it's just tremendous biblical truth. And I've heard him speak many times, and I'll hear him speak again. So we love John Piper. But that said, I think, you know, the issue here is, well, particularly with regard to this apology, you know, this is an example of what we call in biblical counseling a non-apology. You say, well, maybe I should have said it differently, but I'm not so sure. I suspect that there might have been some unholiness in my heart, but, you know, I wanted to communicate. Or, you know, maybe it's not appropriate in this context, but maybe it is in others. And I don't want to be like one who, you know, thinks that we have to curse to reach people and be one of the hip crowd. That's immature. And yet, at the same time, I want that crowd to listen to what I say. So I've used this type of language. And you see, he's going back and forth. And again, this is why I said at the top of the broadcast, I'm not perfect. But here's the reality, Kevin. Number one, when we sin, We just need to confess it for what it is. Don't make any excuses. And then we can move on. There's forgiveness for all of us. Mm. And we don't need to try to reach people by becoming unholy. That will backfire. Piper himself said it. Stick to that, Piper.
Right.
That's the truth.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, is they don't see it as sin.
Right.
That's where the problem is.
That's
because
right.
Wayne Grudem, who is another big name in Christendom today, wrote excellent systematic theology. He was going to be on our program. He happened to be out of the country the week that we contacted him, so he couldn't do it. We appreciate his ministry as well. He wrote an open letter now, an open email, actually, mm-hmm. to John Piper to talk about this issue. Grudem, in his open email to him, seems to be just as waffling, mm-hmm. if you will. He will not call this sin. You know,
right.
He won't get to the point of saying that this was wrong. He says, again, just like Piper does, that it shouldn't probably have been used. It's probably not the best choice of words. You should have used a euphemism or some way. But again, we're talking about the specific words, and I feel that these words are sin, and we'll look at the scripture to go back to the scripture to say this, but we're also going deeper than that. Listen, Piper is a champion for the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereign, and the holiness of God. If anybody should be saying that we don't need to give in to this type of methodology in order to reach people, we expect to hear it out of these leaders. And right away, people will come after anybody who scrutinizes the language and say, well, you shouldn't be scrutinizing it. And we've got some examples of that in some blogs as well. But that's not where the issue is. The issue is it biblical for us to use profane preaching in order to reach the lost? That's where we're going for.
Well, that's right. And there's no doubt that there's a difference between words that are profane and words that are strong. Those who are trying to equate profane words with strong language from the prophets or God, they're on the wrong track, Kevin. And so, again, all of these issues are something we need to talk about. We'll be in the last segment back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Imagine if one of the discs in your spine is swollen and it applies pressure on the adjacent nerve. That right there can give you the numbness in the hand, can give you the numbness in the toes. It can give you problems with impotence, infertility. It can give you problems with dizziness, vertigo, all depending on which nerve fibers are being affected.
Say goodbye to pain and live well with Dr. Manuel Izquierdo. Wednesdays at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
Hi, Al. Just came over to let you know.
Hey, you got to see my latest investment.
Oh, sure, Al.
Check it out. Do you ever see a big screen as big as this?
Wow, that's pretty big.
Oh, yeah. We had to take the wall out to get it in.
Oh.
And how about this new stereo system, huh?
Wow, that's a lot of equipment.
Nothing but top of the line, guy. Ever seen so many buttons?
Not really, no.
Listen, I can make the music sound real tinny. Or real bassy.
That's impressive.
Hey, that's the X900. And for $100 more, I got this little button here.
Oh, what's that do?
Well, I don't remember now, but it was cool. These speakers cost me more than my golf clubs.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
Nah, we'll just hold off on the new satellite dish for the RV.
Well, hey, listen, I just came over to let you know we still have an opening in the Christian school. Thought you'd like to enroll your son.
Gee, Bob, right now I really can't afford it.
Priorities. Where are yours? A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-523-8669, lifelinepro.com.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, host of The Dave Ramsey Show, where life happens every day.
I got a problem. I just need some direction for my girlfriend. She makes $7 an hour, and I tell her that I listen to you every day. She thinks that you're a jerk. I don't know. I can't.
I am a jerk.
Well, yeah,
because
I'm
going to demand she get up off her little $7 an hour butt and become somebody.
It all happens right here on The Dave Ramsey Show.
You can hear The Dave Ramsey Show live weekday afternoons from 2 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, John MacArthur talks about grunge Christianity. He calls it counterculture's death spiral and the vulgarization of the gospel. He talks about worldly preachers, and Kevin, listen to this. He said worldly preachers seem to go out of their way to put their carnal expertise on display, even in their sermons, in the name of connecting with the culture. They want their people to know they've seen all the latest programs on MTV. They familiarize themselves with all the key themes of South Park. They've learned the lyrics to countless tracks of gangster rap and heavy metal music. They've watched who knows how many R-rated movies. They seem to know every fad, top to bottom, back to front, inside out. They've adopted both the style and the language of the world, including lavish use of language that used to be deemed inappropriate in polite society, much less in the pulpit. They want to fit right in with the world, and they seem to be making themselves quite comfortable there. Now, that's an indictment from John MacArthur, and again, it goes back to the underlying issue that you've pointed out for us a couple of times. It's not simply the profanity that we hear from time to time. It's not simply the profanity that we hear from some preachers quite a lot, but it's the whole mindset that we have to become worldly in order to reach the world with the gospel.
Exactly. You know, and in our blog that we put out there today, Paul, as an intro for the show, I made this statement in there. I said what may be even more disturbing about this most recent trend, however, is the fact that many good and godly men who may never actually participate in this profane practice have not only been slow and strangely silent about condemning it, this unholy habit, but they have even embraced some of those that are doing it and are trying to promote their ministries. That's what I find even more disturbing. You know, I wrote there's a JT's blog out there that he's got about 42 entries, I think, as of this morning when I went out, of people commenting about it. Some of the things that the people are writing in there, that Christians are writing in, are disturbing to me, that they don't see any trouble with this. Here's what one said. His name is Bernie out on the blog. He said, I must say that I very much appreciate John Piper's apology. However, as far as I'm concerned, I believe it is unnecessary. It seems to me that he used appropriate speech for the context in which he was speaking, a group of 18 to 24-year-old of college kids. If he had been speaking to a group where children were present, then perhaps an apology would be necessary. However, he used language that was quite fitting to make the point that he needed to make. And so this person is justifying, hey, the audience determines our language.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, because they're quite willing to use this type of language, and they do, then, you know, it's appropriate for us to use that language. It's almost like, you know, you justify going to a movie that has something that's vulgar or vile in it because it's appropriate to what the movie is about, and therefore we can somehow detach ourselves from that and observe that, and it wouldn't be as real if we didn't see it in that context. You understand what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And sin is sin, no matter what the context.
So let me give you another one, then we'll go to the phone lines. But it says, here's Nicholas, and Nicholas said this, the Q&A time at Passion 07, where Piper let the word slip under a little emotion, was amazing. He says he answered some great questions about spiritual growth, humility, and love. I hope the transcript will eventually be made available, edited, and not for language. And so he's saying, listen, you're missing the bigger picture. Piper spoke about some wonderful things, and therefore, because he speaks about wonderful things, we can ignore this statement that's made there or just let it slide. Well, that's not a valid objection to what we're talking about either.
It's not, and I appreciate the wonderful things that he said, and if you want to make those available, I'm happy to read them. But again, as you said, we don't ignore the other issue. I don't think that I would be excused on that way by my congregation, that's for sure. And again, it's not because they're prudish. It's not because they're legalistic. It's because they understand what's right and what's wrong. And there's been a blurring of the lines, it seems, because we're so bent on connecting with this culture. Well, look, I am bent on reaching people for Christ. Again, I've been to places that you can't even imagine to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that we're to become like the culture. There's a big difference. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Keith on the line. Keith, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Brother Paul. My name is Keith again. I'm calling in reference to the topic today. And I understand the temptation of desiring to get your words here, to get our words here when we're preaching. But I think the primary goal is the emphasis on I. People need to hear Jesus, not us. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather to them, to the service, give them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes on to mention that. I believe we need to, like you said, I mean, you guys are very well ethically, you know, very nailed this subject. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to, you know, follow the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stick to the Bible.
Yes.
And the Bible is going to bring conviction. It's going to bring power to salvation in itself.
You know, Keith, even in evaluating whether this is a proper methodology of preaching the gospel, I can't believe how many out of these 42 items on this blog where people have responded, very few, if any, used any scriptural reference whatsoever to back up their viewpoint. They're just using common language or common knowledge or thinking, you know, their own opinion. Well, I think that this is fine, or I think because of his audience is fine. But we've got to take it back, like the Bereans, you know, the faithful Bereans in Acts chapter 17, who had said that they were called, you know, faithful because they heard what the apostles said, and then they went back to the word of God to make sure that it was so. If they could do that with the apostles and were encouraged and commended for doing it, how much more so should we do it with anybody today, regardless of how many books he sold, regardless of how many people are attending this church? We need to go back to the Word of God and call it what it is from the Word of God, and we can do that with confidence. And again, we're not disparaging the whole ministry there. We're just saying that this statement that was made and the mentality about making it is what we are calling into question and what we're scrutinizing. So,
amen.
Good comments, Keith. We appreciate your comments today.
All right. Well, you guys be careful, and we love you in the Lord, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you much.
Well, thank you, Keith. We appreciate that, and we love you, brother. And listen, Kevin, again, you hit it, and Keith hit it, and something else Keith said. It goes back to the heart of what we're talking about. I know you want to get some other quotes, but the heart of what we're talking about, just put it another way, doesn't there seem to be a loss of confidence in the message, a loss of confidence in the power of the gospel itself, in the power of the Holy Spirit when we resort to these things? And listen, who other than John Piper believes in the power of God and the sovereignty of God and the power of the message itself? And yet, from time to time, and I know I'm tempted this way, Kevin, from time to time we lose focus, we lose track. I mean, his own statement was, you know, I don't want people to yawn when I talk about God disciplining. You know, I want them to say, I want to say something that connects. I want to say something relevant, as if the power was in the way he says it. And listen, I have no problem with honing our communication skills. You know, I put emphasis here and I put emphasis there. But you know what? You go back to a guy like Jonathan Edwards. He read his sermons monotone so as not to manipulate people. Bottom line, can you read your sermons? Can you preach loud? Can you preach soft? Can you put emphasis? You can do all of those things. But ultimately, the power is in the message preached. The power is in the Word of God itself.
Amen. You brought out the example of C.H. Spurgeon's Salvation, where the church was closed because of a snowstorm, and somebody else from the church had to get up because the pastor couldn't make it. And Spurgeon says himself, hey, the poor soul, all he could do was basically keep repeating the text, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
And then rather than expounding upon it, he would just repeat it. Look unto me. He couldn't do anything. He had no training whatsoever. He just was the only guy that could do it, and he did it. And C.H. Spurgeon came to know the Lord, and look at how the Lord blessed it. Not through any great preaching or application made, and certainly not through crude speech that he needed to use there, but just the Word of God is powerful in and of itself, and I think you've hit the nail right on the head. There is this propensity today for us to have a low view of the Word of God and a low view of God himself. Listen, I love John Piper. I love a lot of these guys that are out there with this great man. God doesn't need man to accomplish the work. He'll accomplish it with them, and he can accomplish it without them. He'll raise somebody else up. Listen, we can never get into that idea of just following after a person. If the person says something wrong, we have a legitimate right to scrutinize that, to bring it back to the Word of God and say, what saith the Scriptures? We didn't get to the Scriptures much today. We're going to have to carry this over to tomorrow, I think.
We'll do that, because we really do want to talk about what the Bible has to say about our speech. Because not only is it important with regard to our preaching, but it's important, Kevin, with our everyday talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's important with regard to the way we talk to one another, with regard to the way we talk on the radio, with regard to the way we talk to our wives, etc., and our children. So maybe we could expand even to that. We'll be back tomorrow, and we hope you'll join us then. Above all else, the glory of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what we're all about.
Amen. Exactly. That's what we're looking to highly esteem and lift up here on this broadcast, is the glory of our wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those...